continuing to look at Vision Destiny 2020. This is session 9. I'm going to review some of the things that God showed me in 2019, my journals, sharing those, what God said, what God did. What does that mean for 2020? How do we apply that to our lives? Some of the major themes were restoration of all things, the oracles of the Father's heart, love's light, us shining, arise, shine, your light has come, happy eschatology, looking forward to the restoration of all things, not the destruction of all things, the Joshua generation arising in sonship, taking their positions in heaven and outworking that into the earth, and then coming from a place of rest. Son, there is so much more to restoration than anyone has imagined or thought. That all things goes beyond all expectations from just the physical sphere. Restoration of relationships. God and man and man, spirit and soul and spirit, heaven and earth, dimensions, time, eternity. There's a dimensional reality to this that goes beyond what you would just on the surface believe. The restoration of innocence. And I believe this is so important that we realize that God is restoring us to innocence. We have to believe that we are innocent, the righteousness of God in Christ. Otherwise, we will operate according to what we believe. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Do you think innocent when you think of yourself? Or do you still hold yourself guilty and condemned by your past? Restoration of our primordial state, the state that we had before Adam chose to walk his own path. And I believe God wants to restore it beyond that to what it would have been had he not chosen to walk his own path. Restoration of identity, sonship. Restoration of position, being seated in the heavenly places and within the fabric of creation as light. Restoration of authority, the kingdom of God. Restoration of abilities, those supernatural abilities, abilities that were encoded in our DNA, abilities of the mind and the consciousness, all of those things, restored bandwidth, the ability to see different wavelengths of light, hear different sounds. All of that is going to be restored, I believe. The ability to use sound to levitate and move things. The ability to use light focus to change, cut and move things. Restoration of righteousness. Our position of being in Christ. Restoration of the knowledge of that for mankind. Restoration of wholeness and oneness. Whatever fragmentation and brokenness that we've lived in, God wants to restore us as our Father to wholeness and oneness as if there is nothing missing, nothing broken in all of our lives. Complete restoration. So the restoration of fragmentation, where we may be dissociated or separated into emotional parts. Restoration of elemental connections, our connections with the elementals of the universe that are designed for us to interact and influence for good in our rulership as established by our mandate to rule and to subdue. The restoration of creation. And that means all that have been created. You cannot restore creation partially. God wants to restore all of creation, set all of creation free from its bondage to corruption. That includes everything that he's created. The restoration of creative light. We operate in created light. We are creative light beings, and God wants to restore us to the full function of light. The restoration of harmony. I love how harmonious everything was before this whole disruption took place, and God wants to restore us back to that. Restoration of rest. Totally at peace, completely living loved, loving living, living loving. Restoration of love, joy and peace. Restoration of the ancient path. Those are ancient pathways that we can walk within dimensions. There are pathways that we can engage in our minds to open up avenues of non-linear thinking and other dimensional realities. Restoration of energy, frequency, vibration, understanding how to manipulate energy and matter to turn and create, transmutate, all of those things, alchemy, turning one thing into another. Those are things Jesus modeled. He wants to restore all of that to us. The restoration of frequency, our frequency resonating, entrained to the frequency of sonship in a perfect relationship with God. The restoration of resonance, where we would be resonating with God and creation would begin to be resonating with us. The restoration of the mind and our full consciousness functioning fully with the mind of a son, the mind of Christ, the anointed one. Restoration of the emotions. Wherever our emotions have been damaged, hurt, God wants to restore them. Restoration of our body, that we do not die because we live from the assimilation of the DNA of God within the body and blood of Jesus, and we do not need to physically die. We can be fully restored. The restoration of cell memory, the restoration of our body, that means healing from trauma and trapped emotions within our body. All of these things are part of the restoration process, the restoration of health. You know, we focus so much on healing, we need to focus on living in full health. Restoration of DNA. I think Ian Clayton coined the phrase divine nature assimilated, or divine nature's attributes, that we will have the attributes of sonship made in the image and likeness of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Restoration of all our energy gates so that we'll be fully active in energizing and having a flow of energy through us that creates a field, an energy field that brings healing and wholeness and restoration all around our lives. Restoration of all systems that have fallen other than the system of the DIY pathway of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that cannot be restored. The restoration of mandates, things that have been perhaps lost or stolen from us, restored destiny. The restoration of sacred geometry and our understanding and connection to the dimensional perspectives of creation, that we'll find our part within it to be light, to be sound, to be the influence that we are called to have within creation itself. The restoration of tree of life position, of our tree of life position. And again, we are positioned within creation at different levels. Restoration of our Metatron's cube position. The restoration of zero point energy, being able to draw on free energy from the quantum realm and to manifesting into this realm. Science fiction? No. Fact, that God's going to restore it. Restoration of all of the children of God. The restoration of all created beings. If God is going to restore creation, then there must be all created beings going to be restored. Restoration of all dimensional beings. Whatever those beings are, whatever dimensions they're in, we have a role to play as sons in bringing restoration. Restoration of all dimensions themselves. The restoration of the whole universe, all universes, whatever has been created, God desires within his heart to restore it all. The restoration of all galaxies, all stars, all planets, restoration of all that's been lost, restoration of all families, restoration of all that has died, restoration of all darkness, restoration of all time and all space, restoration of history, the restoration of sonship, restoration of all in all. Son, all that was the desire of our heart, our intentions, will be restored. Now, we could spend a lot of time just looking at each individual part of that, and I'd encourage you to do that individually. Meditate on each of those statements. What does that mean to you? How does that affect your life? What difference would it make if this was restored? And fully embrace the restoration of all things mandate of sonship. The question is, will you participate in the process as a son, an heir, a co-heir, and a co-creator? Ephesians 1:21-23, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come, the one to come. So in a sense, we have here a statement of where Jesus is seated and where we're seated in him. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the body, which is his body, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we're going to see a restoration of the fullness of him who fills all in all. So all in all will be filled with the fullness that it was intended to have before we've ended up into this state. We are to be involved in all things being restored. Son, enjoy, be full of my joy, and feel the pleasure of my heart for you. I am with you through all the storms of life. Remember, peace, be still, is not a command, but a state of being. Now remember that, a state of being, living at complete rest. Live in the rest of being where your heart is living, loved, and from your heart will flow the rivers of living water. That is the frequency of love, joy, and peace. But there are other streams that can be flowing to make up the river of life. So there's more to come. Once the fullness of the fruits of the tree of life are flowing, your own fruit will be produced, and four more streams will be added to the flow, the fruit of your sonship. Now, I have no idea what this means, but I'm just saying it because it may resonate with someone out there. I no doubt that I will find out what those streams are and what this means, but I do believe it means that there's going to be more than one flow coming from us, that may be dimensional flows that aren't just into the physical dimension, but touching the spiritual dimension, the other dimensions that may be coming. Son, just as there are 12 stones of fire and 12 strands of light, DNA, there are 12 fruits of the tree of life and 12 streams that make up the river of life and 12 houses that make up the circle of the deep. Now, 12 is a number of government, which means God, 9, 3 by 3 by 3, and R3 making 12. We're included in the fullness of his government, therefore we need to embrace the fullness of the fruits and the strands of light and engage the firestones in that way. Son, the glory of sonship is the light of love to restore creation and free it from its bondage to decay and corruption. Son, arise and shine with the glory of sonship that is the fruit of rest that creates true reality. Son, rise above the earthbound limitations of the do-it-yourself existence and live from the eternal now of my heart. This is the higher state of consciousness that all the ancients were looking for but could never attain by the soul's power alone. There is limitlessness in the convergence of time and eternity, but your mind must be freed from the matrix of illusion, delusion, and unreality that it has been trapped into living in by the restrictions of the soul's independence. It is only by living in the love that can only be truly discovered in union and oneness of relational unity, which is found only within the circle of the dance and the circle of the deep. So there's things that God has included for us to have access where we'll truly find who we are, truly find our position, truly find and outwork our destiny. Son, come through the Merkaba and the Sephiroth of the Tree of Life into this cube of sacred geometric oneness and of being positioned within the spheres of dimensional reality. There are positions for us that will hold and balance creation. The Sephiroth are the manifestations of God that allow him to manifest in the physical and metaphysical universes. Now, some of this is a bit technical. I didn't know what this was until God mentioned it. Then I looked it up and I found out what he was talking about. Now I understand. Son, the restoration of all things is essential as all of the sons of God have a geometrically dimensional position of being that is harmoniously one with us. So our being needs to be a harmoniously one with Father, Son, and Spirit. Son, let not your heart be troubled. Trust in me and cast all your cares and burdens onto me, for I care for you as I do for all my children. We need to embrace this and know that he's with us in every situation, no matter what we're going through, he's with us. They are all my children. Help them by loving them unconditionally and assign angels of protection around them. There are certain people, my grandchildren, children, that I have responsibility within my sphere to do this for. Who are you responsible to do this for? Find out so that you have and use that authority wisely. I am the God of all comfort, and I am working all things together for good. Trust me. Son, rest. I have opened the doors for you. Just be yourself and walk through them. You need to do nothing but be, and I will do the rest when you only do what you see me doing. We will go before and prepare the way so hearts and minds will be open to me. So wherever I'm going, I'm looking for open hearts and open minds that God has already prepared. The sound is resonating with the hearts of those who know there must be more than this. The sound has been drawing them out of the wilderness there that they are in the valley of deception, waiting for the waters to part. Some people are just waiting. They know there's more, but they don't know how to cross. We need to help them cross. Son, figuratively part the waters and lead the way to cross over into the inheritance of sonship. Son, it is your destiny that they can relate to, as your struggle are what many of them are also facing. Son, you offer them hope that there is more, and you don't have to be an expert to experience the realms of heaven. God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. I think I will be a foolish things when it comes to the mystic understanding and realm, but he's still chosen me. And therefore, if he's chosen me and I can see and engage and experience these things, and I believe anyone can. Son, release your soul, your sound. Let me deal with those in opposition. Do not be troubled by their insecurity. Just be yourself. I will remove those who are in opposition to what I'm doing. That is not your concern. Just honor what should be honored and challenge that which needs to be challenged, but do it in love and respect. Son, the foundation needed may not be possible with those who are not willing to be fully disclosed, open and transparent. Trust in the process and legislate behind the scenes that hearts and minds will be changed. No matter what God is doing to bring a foundation of heaven on the earth, it is going to require a process of working relationally with others to bring into the light those things that need changing and transforming. Don't resist that process. Be open with others. Son, you can expand the ambassadors groups next year with others who are ready to step up if you wish. So there are other groups that I might engage with in 2020. Legislation is the key to the governmental aspect of sonship. My children cannot afford to be passive if they want to function as mature sons. Sonship has within its position governmental responsibility to actively rule. I am withdrawing my hand and calling my sons to administrate my hand. That is why you are seated on my right hand, to be my right hand within creation. The light of love expresses truth through relationship and righteousness through responsibility within creation, as light and love are grace and mercy. Each of my children has a position of active responsibility, but are also the light that is positioned within the fabric of creation itself. The sacred geometry of creation is the representation at one level of my sons as light positioned within the Merkabah, Tree of Life, Metatron's Cube, and in all the Flower of Life, Seed of Life, Golden Mean dimensional dynamics. Again, picture of the Merkabah and the wheels within the wheels within the wheels. And if you see here, when you look, there are spheres, and then there are spheres, and these all connect and go deeper and deeper geometrically in dimensional reality. Another way of looking at that that makes it a little bit simpler to see the wheels within the wheels or the circles or spheres, that we are positioned at the intersection with others to be that points of connection, both in this physical dimension, but in all the other dimensions. And there you have the sort of the Sephiroth or the Tree of Life within that, within the Flower of Life and the Seed of Life within the Merkabah, that all are connected and we are positioned within there dimensionally. That's a flat representation of what is a multidimensional reality. Son, you have a mandate to call my sons to arise and take their places in creation. Keep that focus and do not let up on your legislation. Son, keep your heart right by associating with Nancy. You open yourself up to other people's opinions as you're on a public stage. Now, you know, I've not ministered with many people. I've usually ministered on my own. But there are people who God is drawing together today in relationship, as we did the Restoration of All Things conference last year, who are beginning to connect relationally at a different level to enable us to begin to bring this message to the world. Therefore, when you begin to bring a message, Although some people don't like it, but keep focused on God and what God says and keep our hearts right, forgiving, releasing, blessing when we are treated nastily, if you like. Protect yourself and others by showing respect and honor, and don't enter into public debate with those who clearly have an axe to grind. It's no point arguing with somebody or even discussing something if they're not willing to be open to change or possibility of change. Love, honor, and respect those that have different opinions, but keep following the path that I have led you down. And again, I think it's important. Don't get sidetracked by others. Son, there is so much more to come, so many more sacred cows to slay, so don't be intimidated or offended by opposition. It is my opinion that counts. Trust in me, for there are many new paths to go down. Don't draw back because of fear and opposition. Press on and be bold and courageous. Son, let perfect love, which is me, cast out all fear in you, so I can open your eyes to many more truths. Son, the perfect has come. I am that I am has come, and I am is present in my children, and I am is at work, opening the hearts and minds of those in darkness to see and come to the light within them. Yes, for some, the light has to shine externally around them for them to realize that the light is already within. Arise and shine. Be the light to the world that will reveal the light that is within all, so all will experience the light of love and be restored. Galatians 1:15-16 was Paul's description of what happened to him when he encountered the light on the Damascus Road, and it totally transformed him and the course of history. When God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, now that's true for every single child of God, he set us apart from our mother's womb, and called me through his grace, that is true for every single child of God. We've been called according to his grace. When God, who has set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son, not in the light, not around me, but in me. And that means in me, already in me, not outside trying to get in me, but inside trying to be filling me, so that I might preach him in the Gentiles. So the message that Paul experienced in reality, that God, Jesus, was already in him, at work in him, trying to disciple him, and he was resisting it, is the same message that he had to take to the Gentiles. And that message was that Christ is in you. You are included in Christ. He is in you. And unveiling that so they would experience it in reality. You'll find in the English versions of that, it says among the Gentiles, because in the Gentiles does not make theological sense to the evangelical mind. So they translate things like this and change the words because they don't fit in with their theology. Now notice what Paul did. Having experienced this, said, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus revealing himself and then accepting the yoke of discipleship. "I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood." So he didn't need to go and check it out with Jerusalem or with anybody else. This encounter was radically life-changing, and he pursued God for the revelation that God would give him. He didn't need revelation to come from others. He had a totally life-transforming encounter that revealed that Jesus was in him, and he took that message and began to reveal that to others. We have the same mandate as ministers or ambassadors of the word of reconciliation. Son, it is time to deal with destiny rubber. Now, we've gone through this process during this series in which I've showed you various things that God said in preparation. Let me show you the way to use love's light to restore those in darkness back into the light of love and truth. Now, this time I knew this was the time, and I agreed to pursue it. So the Father took me to the Freedom Mountain. And I took my place enthroned on that mountain. I transformed into pure light, and I began to radiate a frequency that drew the fallen one, Destiny Robber, in closer to the light. It was circling inward towards the light until it stood before me. I sensed the tension it felt being so close to the light, and I released another frequency in that light, the light of hope. I entered into a dialogue. I said, I forgive you. It responded, you cannot forgive us. The sons have decreed that we cannot be forgiven. Be very careful what you say, because those sayings are heard by the angelic realm, both fallen or not fallen. I choose to forgive you, was my response, because I really wanted it to know that I was not holding anything against it or anybody else, because freely that I've received forgiveness, freely I release forgiveness, not because someone deserves it or earns it or on the basis of whether they're good enough for it or they've asked for forgiveness or have repented or whatever. It responded, no, I cannot be forgiven. I choose to release the Father's forgiveness to you. So I took it to another stage. I decree that you can be restored. No, we've been told by the sons of God that there is only destruction for us. This is the mindset that they're living in, the beliefs that we have created by our declarations, our theological and doctrinal positions that has limited this whole process. I sensed and felt a wavering, so I released another frequency within love's light. I extended the light of my being to overshadow the falling one with love's light, and I released another frequency, the call to be restored. I wasn't going to let up. I sensed deep sadness and loss, and a new desire began to rise. So I reached out with love, and I looked deep into its eyes, called forth its destiny as a being of light, and reminded it of its pre-fall position and glory. Now, this was an intense experience. I wouldn't say, don't go away from here thinking I can go and restore a fallen one. You have to have a mandate. God prepared me for 3 or 4 years to do this. And even in this last year, I went through lots of challenges to get me to the point where I was willing to accept this task and embrace it. I didn't do this lightly, and I would not encourage you to think you can go out there and do any of these things without a clear mandate from God and being prepared to be able to do this. If you cannot do this unless you mean it and you feel it, I felt love. I felt the need to forgive. Yes, I'm feeling the Father's heart and I'm coming from the Father's heart. Who's with me there? Even though he wasn't in view to this being, he was to me. And I knew his presence was with me when I was doing this. So I encourage you, don't rule this out, but don't create a doctrine or new theology about this. Engage God and ask God to give you revelation of what you're called to do and who you're called to do it with or towards. The scales began to fall off its body and light started to emerge from within. I sense joy returning, so I call for its destiny to be restored and its position to be restored. I look deeper and I saw it begin to emerge from the deception into the light of truth, and its beauty began to come into view. I call forth its passion and fire and proclaim forgiveness and sense the relief and the heaviness lift. I asked it, what was its name? I am of the order of destiny, is what it said. I recommissioned it and ascribed it to a new name, the Freedom Destiny Restorer. It rose into the air, exploded in beautiful light, filled with joy. I then released it with the freedom to access all of our mountain spheres and to inspire the Joshua generation to come forth out of the deception of the wilderness, darkness, into the glorious light of inheritance. I felt the heavenly rejoicing with the other angelic beings who saw this, and they responded in a joyful celebration. Those that were of that order of destiny responded in celebrating a restoration of a fallen brother, if you like. It was an amazing thing. Just as there is a celebration in the realms of heaven when one child of God is restored and comes into a relationship and understands that relationship with God, So there is rejoicing amongst the angelic realm and within heaven itself. And the atmosphere of heaven is filled with jubilation and celebration when someone and something gets restored. Son, I am with you. Trust me and cast all your cares onto me because I care for you. Don't try and be someone you're not. Son, I made you to be able to deal with and subdue those obstacles and hindrances so as not to be deflected from your task as a son of God. I am pretty much like a dog with a bone. I don't give up. I'm not easily deflected and I pursue. But sometimes there are hindrances that are in my way that I have to rule over and subdue and command to be moved. As Jesus said, speak to the mountain and command it. So if there is an authority in my way, I am going to deal with it one way or another. Focus on the solutions, not the problems. Let me deal with the problems by seeking first the kingdom. Son, choose a different reality, one that aligns with your destiny and the restoration of all things. Update your testimony to cover the process of restoration of your sonship. Bring the Joshua generation focus up to date with governmental authority and restoration. Now, sometimes God gives me some direction of what I need to teach, what I need to prepare, and what I need to be focused on in legislation. Include restoration as a focus for legislation. Son, your focus needs to be preparation, getting the Joshua generation ready to be according to the order of Melchizedek. Son, light and love are the keys to restoration and government. Son, arise and shine with the light of love to be the light to the world so sonship is lifted up and no longer hidden. The ecclesia and the embassies of heaven must be like cities that are on a mountain ruling from a position of being raised up to be seen as the light of the world. The glory of sonship is to shine brightly to restore hope through love. This is so important that we know we're loved, we're unconditionally loved, and we use that love to create a hope for restoration. This light is so the tree of life and the river of life can both be experienced on earth as they are in heaven. The role of the order of Melchizedek is to bring agreement between heaven and earth, converging time and eternity to restore all things to their original position within my intentions. Son, love is the only true weapon you need. Arise and shine with love's light, and the world will know who I am when they see me, love, and that love revealed in my children. Now, really embrace that love. Embrace his love. Be loved, and then you are be empowered to love. Love one another as I have loved you, and the love the world, love the world as I loved it and gave my life for it. Unconditional love is the only thing that is a constant need common to all my children. That is their driving force. Use that to reveal me in them. Everyone is looking for love. Let's let them find it in that personal, intimate, innocent, restored relationship of love. I long for all my children to know the reality of my unconditional love. And I am constantly working in their lives to reveal the truth. Be the light of revelation that unveils me in all of my children. I am is love. There is no other description necessary. Love defines my every desire, thought, and action. There can be nothing but unconditional love within me or at work through me. Love desires the good in every situation and circumstance. But following the DIY path has meant my children have chosen independence from the source of their deepest need to search for love that they can never find apart from me. It's really, really important. Okay, son, for you to be you, others must be them. So show unconditional love to those who are different from you and honor all. Now, I want to read a number of passages from John, and this is probably my favorite chapter in the whole Bible, and the chapter really that really God has spoken to me over and over again, and I so encourage you to read it in the Mirror Bible if you can. John 13:34, I give you a new commandment, keep on loving one another just as I have loved you. My love for you is the source of your love for one another.
This is not a law we're obliged or obligated to keep, but a goal to pursue. And I encourage you to pursue that goal. The word entole, which is often translated commandment or precept, has two components, en, in, and telos, from telo, to set out for a definite point or goal. Properly, the point aimed at a limit, that is, by implication, the conclusion of an act or state, the result, the ultimate or prophetic purpose. That's, you'll find that in Strong's Concordance. So in reality, there is a goal rather than a law to keep. John 13:35, this environment of your love for one another, everyone will come to know your discipleship unto me. When we display this love to one another, we produce this environment of love, others will come to know God through our discipleship and love for one another. Now I want to read to you John chapter 14, which is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. My Bible has that page stuck back in because it's fallen out a few times. What makes my Father's house home? Is your place in it? See, this is the key. If we're not in it, it isn't home. If this was not the ultimate conclusion of my mission, why would I even bother to do what I'm about to do, if it was not to prepare a place for you? And in reality, this was preparing us to be within him, and of course preparing us to be a house of God, that he would be in us. This is really the key here. And actually, a lot of this was based in a marriage type relationship. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm coming back to receive you to myself, was what the bridegroom did when he went to build the house, usually attached to his father's house, and then invited the bridegroom to come and join him. And then they had the celebration. I have come to persuade you of a place of seamless union where you belong. See John 8:35. The difference between the slave and the son is that the slave only works there. For the son, the father's house is home. And the son is the father's house and home. John 8:36. With the freedom found in sonship, there is no pretense. Free indeed. The word ontous, indeed, is the opposite to what is pretended. What Jesus is about to accomplish in his death and resurrection will forever shift the idea of religious works and pretense and performance from the typical slave mentality to the freedom and reality of sonship. John 14:3. The proportions of what I will accomplish are astonishing. I will prepare a highway for you, just as in the Oriental custom, where people would go before a king to level the roads to make it possible for royalty to journey with ease and comfort. By fully identifying myself with you, I would fully identify you with me, so that you may be completely at home where I am. Now, he was home in the Father, and the Father was home in him. And this is what we've been invited to come into. Jesus sees the full scope of his work by submitting himself to our judgment and our hellish fury. He would enter into our death and gloom and thereby strip every principality and dominion of its judgment and power play over the human race. Colossians 2:14-15. The word suggests a leveling of the road to make it passable for kings. Isaiah 40:3-5. The word paralambano carries two components. Para, a preposition indicating close proximity, a thing proceeding from a sphere of influence, with a suggestion of a union of place of residence, to have sprung from its author and giver, originating from, denoting the point from which an action originates, intimate connection, and lambano, to comprehend, to grasp, to identify with. We need to identify with the place that is our residence within God. He would lead us in his triumphant procession on high, out of our darkness, into his marvelous light, where we may now participate in the union of the ages, and take you to myself, so you may be where I am, face to face with the Father. And this is where he was. He wasn't going to take us to some mansion in heaven. He went into death, came back in the resurrection to bring us into the life of a face-to-face relationship with the Father. How awesome is what he's done for us. Hosea 6:2, Ephesians 4:8, Colossians 1:13, John 1:1-2, John 1:18. Until this moment, God remained invisible to mankind. Now the authentic, incarnate, begotten Son, the blueprint of our design, who represents the innermost being of God, the Son who is in the bosom of the Father, brings him into full view. He is the official authority qualified to announce God. He is our guide who accurately declares and interprets the invisible God within us. And this is what he's looking to do, to reveal God in us, as he revealed God or Jesus in Paul. John 14:6, Jesus said, "My I am-ness mirrored in you is your way. This is your truth and also your life. Every single person can now come face to face with the Father entirely because of my doing." How awesome. Jesus was looking forward to what he was going to do on the cross, going into Sheol, overcoming the death and Hades, taking the keys back of death and Hades, and being resurrected, bringing new life to the whole of creation. What an awesome Savior, brother, we have. What an awesome Father we have. What an awesome God we have, who they would choose to come and take our place. Verse 7, "If you had known me for who I really am, you would have immediately recognized my Father in me. Now, with me bringing you back face to face with the Father, you will certainly know him and become fully acquainted with him." And this is the amazing thing that Jesus has done. He is the door that we can enter into a relationship with the Father through. In fact, he is the only door that we can enter into a relationship with the Father through. Verse 18, "At no time will you be orphaned or abandoned by me. I come to abide face to face with you. I come to be no less face to face with you than what I have always been face to face with the Father from the beginning for all eternity." The Holy Spirit does not replace but reinforces the presence of Jesus and the nearness of the Father. Again, John uses the word pros, face to face, John 1:1. Verse 19, "In yet a little while," this was after he went into the grave, 3 days beyond, "and the world will no longer see me, but I will be tangibly visible to you in the very life we share together. In that day you will know." That's the resurrection day. This is the day that they knew the reality that Jesus was the Son of God and overcame death. "In that day you will know." And this does not mean intellectual understanding or knowledge. This means personal reality and experience. That we are in seamless union with one another. I'm in my Father, you're in me, and I am in you. Now here's what this is. This is what happened when he breathed on them on the resurrection day and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That then they knew that they were in seamless union. We're in him, he's in us. We have this amazing relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit. Verse 19, "The incarnation does not divide the Trinity. The incarnation celebrates the redeemed inclusion of humanity." Awesome. Picture four circles with the one fitting into the other. The outer circle is the Father, then Jesus, the Son, in the Father, then us in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in us. Awesome. Father, Son, Jesus, in the Father, sons within Jesus, within the Father, Holy Spirit within sons, within the Son, within the Father. This is how seamless this union is, and we need to experience this, know the reality of this, live out of this. This is the truth that Jesus died to bring to us, to resurrected to make alive in us, that we have this amazing relationship. And he is within all, and all are within him. This spells inseparable, intimate oneness. Note that it's not our knowing that positions Jesus in the Father or us in them. It's not our knowing, he's already done it. Our knowing just brings realization for it. Our knowing simply awakens us to the reality of our redeemed union. Gold does not become gold when it is discovered, but it certainly becomes currency. We need to have the currency of our relationship with God lived out. It isn't enough to have a theoretical approach to this. It is true. Let's awake and unveil to the truth, and let's bring that word of reconciliation to a world desperate to know the truth. Verse 21, John 14, whoever resonates and treasures the completeness of my prophetic purpose cannot but fall in love with me, and also find themselves to be fully participating in my Father's love. And I will love this one and make myself distinctly known and real to each one individually. All we have to do was come into agreement by realizing that this has already been done for us and accept that he's done it. We don't make it happen. We can't do anything to earn it. This is the reality that's already happened. Let's bring that realization to a world in darkness by shining and radiating love's light. In this embrace of inseparable union, love rules. Intimacy is not the result of suspicious scrutiny, but the inevitable fruit of trust. Verse 23, Jesus answered, this is so much more than a mere casual, suspicious or indifferent observation. Whoever loves me will treasure my words and know my Father's love, and we will come face to face with this one and make our abode with power, each one individually. And this is the whole of creation, and we need to help creation respond and awaken to God's love and God's power and the awesomeness of it. We will make our abode, the same Greek word that's rendered mansions in the King James Version. In the former part of this chapter, God doesn't dwell in buildings made with human hands. God has no other address but you, man, life. He lives in us. The Holy Spirit is about to come, verse 26, to become your close companion, sent by my Father in my name to represent me, to teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have spoken to you. Thus my word will continue to find a voice in you. In other words, he will continue to find a voice in us because he is the living word of God, living and active and more powerful than anything else. Peace be with you. I give you my peace, my own peace. This is not the kind the world gives. This is peace in the midst of troubled times. Therefore, you have nothing to fear. Let not your hearts be timid. Perfect love casts out fear. When we experience perfect love, there is no need ever to be afraid. Verse 28, you have heard me say that I go away to come to be face to face with you. Now, if you're in love with me, you would not be threatened by the idea of my departure. You would rejoice. Since I'll be going to the Father and my Father is greater than me, from now on, we will be present in a much closer capacity to you than what I could ever be while I'm here with you in the flesh. He's now in us. Live loved, love living, live loving, rest. And I encourage you to rest. Allow him to love you. Allow that joy of his love be expressed in how you live in this world and live in a loving way towards all others. We will then be able to live in that place of intimate, wondrous rest. So again, let that love, joy and peace surround you. Embrace the love that Father, Son and Spirit has for you. Be loved, live loved, rest in love. Be filled with his joy, that your joy can overflow into this world. Know that his love brings forgiveness, unconditional love, unconditional forgiveness. You didn't have to earn it or deserve it or even ask for it. He chose to forgive you. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. Even on the cross, he was forgiving those, even though they never asked for it. We can live in this loving way as God has loved us and brought us into that state of living loved, forgiven, righteous, made the righteousness of God in Christ. Embrace the frequency of love and be loved. Live loved. Be loved. Live loved. Be loved.